This audio download is a recording of the session on Palestine at the 2009 Dublin Anarchist Book Fair. You can download more audio files from www.wsm.ie.
Sahari visiting from Palestine, and what do I
do? Good morning, everybody. My name is Nizal, and I'm working in Ireland as a doctor in pediatric field for 18 months. I was asked to speak here about Palestine and the Palestinian issue. And the occasion mainly is for the 8th of March, Women's Day. So I was thinking what's the best to do in order to put things together, because the 8th of March was part of our struggle, even in Palestine, in the uprisings and fire. So I decided to start from my own experience in the streets and about 8th of March. What does that mean to us at that time? And being a member of an ethnic party in Palestine, we were so active towards women's rights and women's movements in Palestine and all over the world. We have to start from saying that in Palestine, we were exposed to so many cultures, as you know, and that's why we had never extremism in Palestine. Extremism is not something to do with Palestine and Palestinians. So it's just heartbroken, the things that we're seeing now happening in Palestine. And maybe we can just talk about it from this part of, because for me, I believe that women's right is the thermometer or the standard for the society, human rights, and freedom, and liberty, and open-mindedness. And that all has to do with us being under occupation at the same time as society, and people with intellect who are trying to have values and beliefs and ideologies. So I came from a leftist background. It's the Communist Party, which is now, they had some problems, whatever. It doesn't matter, but they gave us very strong sense of confidence when it comes to human rights and to women's rights. So in Palestine, unlike so many neighboring countries in the Middle East, we had very outstanding women's rights, and we were so proud to have many women doing lots of activities up to going to the presidential elections against Yasser Arafat himself. That was wrong. And in my own experience, when I was 15, the uprising started in Palestine. In the streets, we used to go with the girls, neighbors, the ones that we used to be chasing for love and for romance, and go to the streets, to marching, demonstrations, block the roads, put fire into weeds, and throw stones against the Israeli army. And this is, again, one of the women's right that we are so proud to say that we gave them, to struggle in the street side by side with everybody and be a part of a very effective political, let's say, movement in Palestine. Maybe so many of you may know about women, active women in the Palestinian PLO, up to carrying the arms and fighting in so many areas, and in the political, intellectual movie production. Now, I was listening to the briefing about this movie produced by a Palestinian woman, Salt of the Sea, it's a very good one. So we start by just sending greetings to all women in the world. Congratulations on your day. We wish you all the health, flourishness, wealth, and happiness in the world. You deserve that. And to women in Palestine, they deserve it as well for what they have done and for what they have been suffering from. It's obvious that women in Palestine should be so strong to keep the struggle ongoing, because we believe in Palestine, in the Arabic culture, that there's behind every good thing, there should be women, the mom, the sister, the lover, otherwise you can't. And against such enemy like the Zionist movement, we wouldn't have survived if we had different women, mentality, weak or type of, you know, reliable, you know, the way. So we have to say that we are strong and we intend to stay in our land and to fight for our rights because of our women. That's, we own the land. The dates for 8th of March in Bethlehem, I can give you a briefing of maybe 24 hours. We'll be going to the streets in the night and we'll be under the very dangerous circumstances from the Israeli soldiers, just going and writing on the walls, congratulations, in the 8th of March, Women's Day, simple things. And that used to be threat of life. But this is a statement telling that there is an ideology behind it, there is an organization behind it, there is a political party behind it. And this word political is exactly what Israel doesn't like to hear. We listen to the news, they talk about humanitarian aid, humanitarian help, humanitarian support. And humanitarian things are great, but we are, first of all, have to focus that we need our political rights before any humanitarian rights. And that's why we died for our beliefs. Otherwise, we would appreciate life and living like slaves, but living anyway. But no, so many guys, they just went and gave their lives, like the guys in the Israeli jails who used to stand up against the suppressor and speak whatever they, and they knew that they were going to be shot, and they did it. So political organization, political backgrounds, connects, networks, undergrounds, that used to threat Israel, because that would demolish the mythology about going somewhere where it's empty, and then a few Arabs came to work here and they are asking for rights. What kind of rights? They're asking for just, you know, civil rights. Civil rights, anybody can ask. An immigrant from like from Bethlehem to Canada will ask for civil rights. Everybody has the right for civil rights. It's not a different story. So the first intifada, like in 87 until 91, when the peace process started to take place. That was the first time in history for more than 2,000 years where Palestinians as one nation stood up and told the whole world that we are a nation, we have a history, we have our roots, we have passion to our land, we love it, and we have rights, and we have the right for an independent state. And that shaped the whole Zionist mythology. They were so worried, and that's why they used to shoot us just for marching in the streets and holding a Palestinian flag. And many of my, like, I have a cousin, he's now in a wheelchair, and he was marching in the, just, you know, it's a big threat to Israel. If you have any ideology and political opinion, or you are connected to the international, let's say, network. So we were so good in Palestine to have our contacts with the international socialist movements all over the world, with Ireland, with Russia, with America, all over the world. And the three out of four parties in the PLO were socialist and leftist. And that's why we managed to have a great education for our comrades and our friends and our women. They used to lead us. One of the time in my cell in the party, the leader was a woman, five guys. And we're so happy she's a leader in Palestine. So maybe they deserve this credit from me. We had very rich history working with women. They used to educate us, drive us from one place to another, organizing events and bookshops and demonstrations, mainly women in Palestine. So that just small briefing, and so many people were just killed and shot and jailed because they went to protest or just they want to march and to show support in the 8th of March. So it is a statement about refusal for occupation and about connectivity with the whole rebellious world and all the socialist and the leftist world, in the sense that we need it not because we just need parties, we need it because we are in very need for organization and for network and for support from all over the world since we have the most, let's say, vicious enemy on earth, I believe, Zionist movement. So that was maybe the beginning, and I quoted something from our great poet Mahmoud Darwish, because it's now late, I don't want to make it very boring, so there's a poetry, it's the one I'm going to read. I love it so much, and it is here in English, talking about the way we think about women in Palestine, in the way we brought up, with our passion to our women, to our land, to the party we belong to. So it's a, you know, it's the Trinity, it's a Holy Trinity. We always said we are ready to die for this Holy Trinity, my belief, my woman, and my homeland. And so whenever Mahmoud Darwish writes anything, he will be talking about the woman, we know it's the land. We'll be talking about the land, we know it's his woman. So it's all in a very beautiful way, and I'm here just maybe 1 minute to read it for you, just for diversity, don't want to be very, you know. So he says, on this earth, what is worth living for? April's hesitation, the aroma of bread at dawn, the woman's opinion of men, the work of her peers, the beginning of love, grass on a stone, mothers living on the flute side, and the invader's fear of memories. The final days of September, the woman leaving her 4 feet in full blossom, the hour of sunlight in prison, a cloud reflecting a swarm of creatures. The people applause for those who face death with a smile, and the terrible fear of songs. We have on this earth what makes life worth living. On this earth, the Lady of Earth, mother of beginnings, mother of ends. She was called Palestine. Now she is called Palestine. My lady, because you are my lady, I deserve life. And that was the way we were brought up, and I believe it's a very beautiful way of bringing patriotism and struggle together with happiness, love, and passion, rather than with anger and being coated in this, you know, hatred to the enemy, and then you won't be able to function to do anything beneficial for yourself and for your homeland. And we were so lucky to be in this part, and I believe that so many people who were caught in so many extreme mentalities in Palestine are paying the price of the failure of the international community to bring peace and to bring justice to Palestine, and they were cornered, and now they are victims of their own beliefs. And we believe, everybody in this world, I believe, agrees with me that extremism is just, you know, is as bad as, you know, as anything else can harm you, can bring you back to stone ages, won't give you any good, and that's a sad part of Palestinian history. We go maybe just to talk about a bit what have been happening in Palestine, and to put things together. Everybody knows about the Gaza thing, and of course, any support and any work towards the Palestinian case and towards helping in Gaza is greatly appreciated. But again, we should remember that Gaza is a small part of Palestine, and our concentration shouldn't be just on Gaza as somebody who needs humanitarian aid and the borders to be open. There is a big thing that Israel should be confronted with, that this is a small part of a big robbery action taking place against the Palestinians, and it should not be separated, and the Palestinian case and the Palestinian problem is not Gaza. Gaza is now the most recent, the most sad, the most bloody and painful part of it. But we have to emphasize all the time that Palestine is all under this siege and threat, confiscation of homes and land, and daily humiliation of us as people. I was there from June, and I came in January for some health issues. And you can't believe it, like if you're a Western, you're used to travel and to go and come, and you'll be treated there in a very, very humiliating way. Like you can't understand that humanity can go such a low place, especially in the 21st century, where most of the colonizations and most of the occupations are fading. Now they're just building walls, building checkpoints, and making your life worse, and they come and can bring you to square one, that you are nobody and we can humiliate you, we can jail you, we can shoot you, and they are superpower. It's a terrible feeling, and it is taking place until now, every day, yesterday, today, and my parents will be part of that, my friends, my family. So maybe we can just try a question about the reaction to what happened in Gaza. Where did we reach with, say, investigations, and where did we reach with all the accusations against the Israelis that they have committed genocide and war crimes? Did we get any practical things on the state level, on any, recent court or government or organization? That's still under very questionable thing. People were slaughtered by animals in Gaza, and babies were burned with the white phosphorus for days and days. And still, we can see that the European Union is upgrading the state of Israel and the European Union for economy and for trade and political and educational and whatever cooperation with Israel. So, is that a letter to the Palestinians that you are? Your blood doesn't work anything. So if that's the message, and that was the message, the strong message from the politicians, so nobody has the right in the whole world to come blame Palestinians for doing anything to defend themselves. So that's why, in order to talk about extremism and elimination of radicalism, we should be rational and reasonable at responding to war crimes. War crimes all over the world. We talk about genocide, war crimes, hundreds of years ago, and we have the right to do that, and we have the right to sue and judge those people, even if they are dead. Now, genocide in Armenia, now Turkey is paying the price, and that's true, and that's right, it should happen. People, they burned the kids and babies in Gaza just a month ago, and now they're heading for elections, and they're winning elections, and the new government in Israel, they have nomination mainly will go for Avigdor Lieberman, who was born in Soviet Union, Russian speaker, came in 76 to Palestine, and now he's asking his government to treat Gaza the way United States of America treated Japan in World War II. That's what he's asking his government to do, and yet he will be nominated to be the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. All right? The USA will go and talk to us, don't make us put more pressure on you, we are not going to be involved with Hamas. Why Hamas people? Because they are the worst on earth, they are terrorists. So how can you treat this government in a better way, where Bibi Netanyahu is now taking over, so extreme and so radical, and we know exactly what they could have done and what they are going to do, and maybe this Lieberman is the more extreme person on earth, I don't know. So he now will be the big head of the foreign affairs the government, and he's very well accepted by the new government of Obama and Clinton. So I think this is a very strong indirect message that things are not changing, we are still in the same square, and we have to fight and fight seriously and fight hard. Otherwise, you can't see changes, you can't see liberation. Occupation creates more hatred, creates more instability, and that will be reflected from all Arabs, Palestinians, Muslims are very much affected and influenced by what happens in Palestine. If this case to be solved, so many Western countries will solve so many problems inside their own countries. They can't see that because they're so into business and into money and into contracts with the Israeli government and with the Israeli lobbies and so on. And again, the Israelis are maybe the best on earth that can intimidate people directly and indirectly. Try to talk about them in any big event, and then you'll find your job. Your job is gone, and then they'll be calling you, threatening you, sending you this and that, like what happened to our director, Edward Said. 10 times they tried to assassinate him and bombard his office. He's a professor, he was an intellectual. He never talked about violence or defended violence, but that will happen to anybody who stands against him, but we have to break the circuits. And again, maybe this one small point I want to speak about, the comparison between Hamas and the Zionist movement. The Zionist movement was established outside of Palestine, and they have the target and the aim to come into Palestine and take over the land and ethnically cleanse the country from us. And that's what happened. So Hamas was established in 87, and so many people, they are talking about the Israeli intelligence being involved in that. It's very controversial, but very different. So after maybe 40 years of assault and harassment and killing and occupation, you would see somebody trying to establish a political party and being radical and extreme. So I can understand that. I don't justify so many things that Hamas has done. I don't agree with the bombardment of mosques. That's wrong. It's not for our interest as Palestinians. We always had our values that in the struggle, you don't harm a child, you don't harm an armed man, you don't harm a woman, you don't harm a tree or a flower. You should be. They didn't commit to this because what they believe is the balance of terror. They have all the open on earth, we have nothing, so we have to invent the balance of terror. But anyhow, that was wrong from my point of view. But still, you can see where they those people are coming from. Again, maybe talking about the fact that over the last few years, we were talking, all Palestinians, about the reconciliation with Israel and the two-state solution, and they were accusing Hamas that Hamas is going to eliminate and to destroy the state of Israel. So they come back and they start to talk to the moderate Palestinians, the Palestinian Authority, and we have seen that the Palestinian Authority who agreed to give 78% from historic Palestine to Israel and to have total peace and reconciliation, got nothing from them. At the time that Israel is not giving us any rights for establishment in a vibrant state. They are just talking about small parts of Palestine controlled by us, like autonomy. So again, they want us to have controls and rights, but not political rights. This is again the thing, they want us to have civil rights. So Hamas offered them a long state truce for some of them mentioned up to 50 years. Israel again is not happy because this is not enough. They should just come and deny all kinds of violence, meaning no resistance anymore, and talk about 100% guarantees to Israel that yes, we're going to just swallow all the sorrow and defeats and give you 100% what you are asking for. On the other hand, what did Israel do? Did Israel give us any guarantees? Did they give us any proper land? Did they give us any proper freedom for prisoners or stopping this war or stopping the settlements or stopping the killing and assassination? No. America is, again, 3 days ago, Clinton was in Ramallah and they were delivering the message again to us that we have to just be good guys and be with the international community, the guys who are going to pay our fees and our rents and our I don't know what, but no more resistance. We have to now, you know, adhere to another style of resistance, the passive one, remain to the defeated. Spirituality is a defeated one. And it's very important for us because our struggle mainly was a spiritual struggle. The means of arms and weapons in the history of the Palestinian struggle are so little, and it's symbolic. Even the Hamas rockets are firebombing in comparison. It's something irrational to compare with the fourth military power on Earth. So that's the government that we are now pushed by America to deal with. They are going to have the most extreme people in the government, starting from maybe Netanyahu, and maybe they bring some more people from different parties, maybe even the most radical small party, in order to build the balance of numbers. So maybe the question at the moment, like, how can we look at that, and what can we do for the Palestinian case, and for Palestine, and for Gaza? The work of our friends and colleagues and comrades have been really great in Ireland, in Europe, and in all over the world. I believe we have to stick to what we have started, the boycott, the sanctions, the education, the propaganda. Israel is the one who's mainly having the control and power in the United States, so we have, everybody should be targeting, talking and educating people, our friends, our colleagues, our families, in the United States. The biggest decisions are made, and the biggest wars have been taken, and the most victims on Earth is by America. And now, again, they're not happy for that yet. They're supporting Israel to keep on doing that and teaching us a lesson. Maybe what I can brief you about what is happening at the moment inside Palestine. We all are sad about this division. It's very sad. So fresh news is that at the moment the two parties are trying to build a unity government, and that's very good news. They tried that before, it was hard. At the moment they're trying seriously. So the current government has resigned today to give empty place for the unity government to be formed from all parties in Palestine, including Hamas, of course, Hamas. And even the Americans, they changed the tone. They said, yes, we're going to deal with the government, meaning that Hamas would be anyway accepted because this is the new approach of Obama, and we hope it can bring something new to us. So there'll be meetings inside Gaza, in Cairo, all over the world, and we hope to get to a unity government that can bring us out of this division, obviously very painful and painful division to the Palestinian cause. Maybe how can we help, like, in bringing people together in Palestine from the outside? The first one thing is just to make everybody believe inside Palestine that they are wrong. We have no right to tell any of them that they are right. Even if we believe that yes, Hamas was elected and they have the right. Because everything in this particular problem is very relative. Like, Hamas is right and wrong, Fatah is right and wrong, everybody is right and wrong in there at the moment. So maybe it's just we have to push them, corner them, put them in the corner, tell them you all are wrong. We can't support you. We shouldn't take sides. I appreciate people here, they're trying to be honest to the revolutionary ideologies and anxiety and said yes. We disagree partly with Hamas, but they were elected, so they have the right. So many things and so many wrong things were committed by Hamas as well and by Fatah. So we have to put more burdens on them, make them just agree and believe that there is no other way for Palestinians to get a free Palestine and better life for Palestinians rather than unity. The problem now is that Hamas is the one who's carrying more than our, Palestinian burdens. They're carrying more than that, and they were under more pressure from all over the Islamic world in order to win elections, and an Islamic State that thought something maybe will look like in the future, an Islamic caliphate in so many countries all over the world. So I don't like to see that in Palestine. I don't like to see an Islamic State in Palestine. I want to see a democratic, liberal, open-minded people living in, in equal rights, because extremism is not for us, is not the Palestinian thing, the location of Palestine, the geography we're talking, give us the chance to have this very multicultural thing. So I believe we had one of the most exposed spots on earth. We were exposed to culture. And if we go to history, we have beautiful, like, mosaic of history, if you want. But that would include the Romans, the Byzantians, the Turks, all over. So we're always exposed. And as a small nation, we absorb so many things, and we have this variety and this open-mindedness. Extremism is something new to us. And we hope that by getting bribes to the people and stop their reason for fighting, and we have to deliver the message to the whole world that we don't want to fight, and we don't fight to fight. Give us our rights, and we promise you to stop fighting from just immediately. That's what we're targeting, to find a way not to put our children in what we have been through, jails and shooting and killing and humiliation. So maybe that's about the Palestinian thing, and I'm maybe just optimistic to bring the news that we're going to have unity government, and I hope that this will last and it will happen, and something good might happen maybe within the few coming weeks. They promised by the end of this month they should form this government, and that should bring us again to be strong and to be ourselves and to be Palestinians, rather than being, you know, shattered between big countries and things like that. And thank you, and I am ready to discuss or answer any questions that you have.
Very as home
with Mr. Shatter's analysis and the immediate red stroke for the Sinn Féin member of Dáil Éireann Senedd. He didn't say Shatter was a spokesperson for government when he said that the analysis of Allen and Shatter, governments would be very much at home. Our relation is that we should stop jumping to the American agenda. We should tell the Zionist lobby and those who accuse us of being anti-Jew that we are not anti-Jew, that we stand shoulder to shoulder with Palestinian women and children and with Israelis for the rest. It's not for us. It is not for us to tell Palestinians who to against and who not to against. That is a matter for Palestinian men, women and children to have a say in their own country without us interfering.
Thank you.
I personally have been involved in, or have been exposed to the Palestinian question since a very young age for a number of personal reasons, so I'm sorry to talk to you. But it was recently that I decided to, and though I've always been supportive and around, it was recently that I decided to become a part of the IPSC and kind of take a more active role in regards to the Palestinian question, particularly confronted, as Con was saying, with the EU hypocrisy, that it's really, really painful to anyone with a heart placed inside the chest. But there's a number of things that I think it's important to take into account. And I want to echo something that Con was saying. I think that the fact that the Israeli lobby has to come up again and again with the anti-Semitic ghost and to exorcise that ghost time and again, it's on the level of desperation, because there's actually absolutely no argument left to defend the unjustifiable massacres going on and occupation. So I think that we're on the kind of right track with the movement, that they have to come up with a hysterical response instead of a political one. But I want to ask you something from the point of view of the Palestinian people. You're talking about how good a national unit government is. Certainly, I think that the unity of the Palestinian people is absolutely necessary to confront such a vicious enemy. That's out of the question. My whole question is, if that happens in the unity government and accepting the Palestinian Authority, to what extent at this stage that means to accept a sham that was the Oslo Accords? And we have to be very, very clear on that. Systematically for the last 15, 16 years, the Palestinian movement have been postponing resistance and doing all sorts of concessions with the Zionists. And it's been no good. They've accepted their supposed right to exist of a sectarian entity. And as a counterpart, they accepted as natural that they would have their own sectarian state as well. Well, I think it's completely wrong. Secondly, they've accepted the right to give the nod basically to everything that the Israelis have been doing, from the walls to the increasing settlements in the West Bank and so on. So you wonder at this point, the Palestinian Authority, how much of a burden it is for the cause of Palestinian resistance. At this point, I don't think we have to justify or excuse what Palestinians do in resistance. I don't think that's the main point anymore. Probably it was a couple of years ago, probably not anymore.
So, that's, yeah. And like, you're very right. It's very hard now because of all of the agreements were signed by our Palestinian Authority. But the fact that if you have the unity government, so this government has the right to be voted from more than 51% of the parliament to take any decision. Concerning the constitution, as for now, we have done maybe 3 times for the renovation and addition for the constitution, but we don't still have a peaceful agreement in the Palestinian constitution. It is in Oslo. Oslo was something to do with the Palestinian Authority, but we have a bigger body than the Palestinian Authority, which means the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It's much bigger, it's more legitimate, and it represents all the Palestinians if Hamas will come aside. So there will be just Hamas and small Islamic groups and the PLO. So taking that into consideration, this government will be willing and capable for taking any decision, including resistance. And they should be, you know, studying all options. What can we do? And in the last couple of years, there was this question again and again talking about one state solution. It was rejected badly by the Israelis, and we know the reason. But again, it is a threat that you can use against the Israelis. We don't want to go for armed resistance, which is our legitimate right. You can go for this kind of resistance. That means we don't need any authority to take it to the occupiers, give us our citizenship, our IDs, and take the burden. Because now what Israel has done, they took the ugly face of the occupation out of Gaza and the West Bank, and the Palestinian Authority is supposed to take all means of funds from all over the world to run the country. So for that, you have to pay political decisions. If you take billions from the States and Europe, you can't take the money and do, you know, counter protect their agendas. So in order to take the money, if you are willing to take the money, you should be willing to sign all those agreements and take it. And why the Palestinian Authority is taking all those money? Because Israel as an occupation force was supposed that they used to cover for the health system, the education system, infrastructure, all of that. The Oslo thing gave them the relief that they are not paying any more for that because the Palestinians are free. But they are not free. So we are in no land space, we're nowhere. For the Israelis, we are not under occupation, but we are under 100% occupation because we're trapped in this big prison where they can come out and in, and they can target our army as well, the police, and they can kill our activists and assassinate them without even trying them. So this is a very important thing, and we believe, big part of us believe, that we have to throw this burden against to the occupation, exactly face of the occupation. You are occupiers, and you are under your occupation, you'll be responsible and pay the salaries. The money is coming now mostly for salaries. People are in the health system, education, and all the services. So this is an option, to dissolve everything and to talk in this language. We need to be citizens of this country, and then play the demographic game of Israel. That within 15 years will be majority, and we will take over the Knesset, and part of the Knesset will be mainly the biggest part will be the Palestinian Party, and that's how you dissolve the system, the Israeli system. And this is the question always was asked, what would you do with the Israelis? Would you throw 5 million people in the sea? No, we'll be happy to dissolve this brutal system of the Zionist movement, and the people are welcome to stay, and we can try and find a way to put it together in the two-state solution. So we leave it to the parliament, and they are capable to erase any previous agreements. And if you are in state of court, I mean, power politically, and you have the support, you can do that in politics.
Question
from
here.
Concerning the left in Palestine, the left in the whole world actually used to be in crisis since 1991 up until recently. And now that he's happy that we have this position. This defined that, yes, socialism is the best for our people, for quality of life and this kind of thing. In Palestine, the left was not part of the economic system because we were under occupation. It used to be a means of connection to the outside world and a revolutionary way of resistance. So, and I have to say, in Palestine, we never had a story and history of poverty and problems with the economy. It's a very rich and fertile land, small businesses all over the country for hundreds of years. So it was not the economy, and that's why it would be hard now to believe that what's happening at the moment would be influencing the leftists in Palestine and people would be supporting them more or less. I'm not very optimistic about that. I wish it would happen, but the reality is that it's not. Other question, of course, Hamas is a very recent organization. It was established in 87, to a very contradictory way, like who established Hamas. So many believe it was the Israeli Mossad. There is part of it, that's true. They wanted somebody to come from an Islamic background because it's easy to control religious groups. Because they know how they respond to it. Especially Muslims. You need to just, you know, to study the mentality of them, and it will be a copycat all over the world. You do this, they do that. You study it, they step back. So it's easier to control an Islamic movement rather than to control the PLO with many, let's say, leftist organizations. And the struggle in the 60s and 70s, and even before that, with the leftist Palestinians, proved that they're more capable to advance in the case and to reach the whole world than Hamas. And they proved that we have a better political culture in the left. So maybe it could be the case. But I think that honest people and good people joined this thing, and they found it as a salvation. So at the moment, Hamas is... so many people from Fatah, from the very beginning, started to join Hamas. So it's not a recent thing. To believe that, yes, the Palestinian Authority have taken very passive stand from the war in Gaza. It's terrible. It doesn't fit to a Palestinian leadership. It doesn't fit. This leadership doesn't fit. They are not capable of solving the problem. They didn't give up. If you go deep and talk to them and see what they have been doing and why, there's most of it is Israeli intention. Israeli intention of weakening any party who can be strong enough in Palestine. So they will be weakening the Palestinian Authority by doing all the terrible things to the Palestinians, and then people will be shifting from Palestinian Authority to Hamas. So for them, that's the best thing to do, rather than seeing in 48, 20% of Palestine used to be Christian population, where I came from, a Christian background. Now, Israel managed to evacuate Christians by direct and indirect means to bring us up to 0.075, less than 1% in the Palestine now, Christian Palestinians. That's exactly the aim of Israel, the Zionist movement, to introduce the struggle as a war between Jewish who brought life to Christianity. So we owe them, historically talking, we owe them all the favors that they brought us this place, because Europe is flourished because of Christianity, and Christianity is there because of Judaism. So that's what's happening in the complexes, in the minds in America and all over the world, that, yeah, listen, how can you be against Europe? Jews do it, it's our roots. So those Jews are fighting extreme Muslims. This picture is very comfortable, and it's a beautiful picture for Western people, for Americans, for whites, and for American conservatives. It's very, you know, relaxing to see that there is no conflict in here. Why would I be solving a very complicated matter that this Zionist movement that I'm supporting is going and killing, discriminating, and taking the land of Christians and Muslims? So that it's not a nice picture. I don't see myself very welcome in the, you know, right wings as Christian Palestinians, because I confuse them. You don't like that. So they like to see a very extreme Muslims, children, beards, wearing like Muhammad 14 or 1600 years ago, and talking about revenge and about jihad. So that's exactly what Israel wants. And they'll be very, you know, angry with intellectuals who can represent Palestine in a different way. So it's a complicated thing. It's very, it's beyond the straightforward picture that we can see that Hamas are for resistance, Palestinian Authority is setting up. In the Palestinian Authority, most of those people, they were in jail, they were part of armed resistance, and they were revolutionary. But when you are in power, it's not like when you are in the opposition, and that's what happened to Hamas. When they got in this trap of election, they didn't know that they are going to win, so they won, and suddenly they stopped all the suicide attacks in Israel, they stopped all the rockets, and they start talking about a ceasefire and about the truce. And they're confused, they don't know what to do, how to feed the people and how to open the borders. And they ask the people from other parties, go and talk to the Israelis because we need to bring patients from Bethlehem to Jordan to the Israelis. You don't talk to Israelis. How come you don't talk to Israelis? And you are not taking over, you're the government. They don't have enough preparation to carry on with the cause. They don't know how to do it. They don't have enough culture and accumulation of knowledge. And they have many contradictions in that. You see, so it's a new old story about people shifting from one place to another. But of course, to blame first, always, is the occupation. Like Mahmoud Darwish put it in a very beautiful way. He said, there'll be somebody bombarding this town. Many people go to the hospital. Overcrowded hospital, people will be fighting between the staff of the hospital and the patients and the families of those injured people. And that would be the focus of us. Wow, there is a problem in the hospital. You are this, you are that. We can't find the root. The root of the whole thing is the bombardment. The occupation is the devil. And the rest are details. That's all details we can go through. And I am telling you that I wish that I'm right. If the Israeli occupation comes to an end, we are in this part of the world, in Palestine, it won't take us long to come back to the normal stream of normal way of thinking, away from all kinds of fundamentalism and extremism. It won't take us long. There's a long history of liberalism and of open-mindedness. Even in Gaza, people in Gaza before this first intifada in 87, they used to pay money for, you know, for folklore groups and for people to come and dance. And girls would be doing belly dancing in the halls where they're celebrating their weddings. That used to be Gaza. Now if you are not wearing a scarf, you are in a serious problem in Gaza. So they shifted the whole society toward extremism because people are seeking a solution, so Islam, resistant, but this is not the whole thing. Part of it is, again, it will affect all life aspects. This is that thing. It's very extreme, isn't it? And that Israel is very happy to see us heading towards this extremism.
We reached half a point. I don't know if anybody else would like to say something before we close off. I don't think the Irish Palestine Solidarity Campaign, I'm going to have a stall there probably until 6 o'clock in the next 20 minutes or maybe a little bit longer. But I think in that case, we'll say thanks very much again.
Thank you.
This audio download is a recording of the session on Palestine at the 2009 Dublin Anarchist Book Fair. You can download more audio files from www.wsm.ie.